Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Coming up on show 1029, why EVs are the new iPhones. And that's according to the people who make, you know, iPhones. Stick around. I'll give you the details. Also on the podcast today, we take a first look at the new Mini Cooper EV, official range for the Jeep Wrangler plug-in, and why Chinese companies are building gigafactories in Europe. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Monday, 22nd of March. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story I can find, whittle it down to the stuff you need to know to save you time, and then bring it to you on a 15-20 minute podcast every day. We'll start with the brand new Mini Cooper EV. Oh, hey, by the way, little digression. I think the feed is fixed. I think the Apple podcast feed is now working. If anyone is getting this podcast later than about 5 p.m. on Monday, 22nd, that's UK time, so lunchtime, Eastern time, let me know, because I've had awful problems with the RSS feed. It's been arriving in batches, etc. But I think, fingers crossed, we're sorted. I've checked it in multiple places. I'll get on with the news. The Mini Cooper SE is the only EV in Mini's model lineup, delivering an EPA range of 110 miles with a 181 horsepower motor. When the next-gen Mini Cooper arrives, though, it will be offered as a fully electric hatchback as well. But a combustion-powered model will be sold alongside it. Now, for the first time, spy photographers have caught the new Mini electric testing, says CarBuzz. Development is clearly at an early stage. This prototype Mini is heavily camouflaged and fitted with fake headlight rings and fake tail lights, but it's unmistakably a Mini. They've given it a Mini Cooper S style intake on the hood, the bonnet, and so it's as if it's sucking in air to feed a big engine, but of course it's not. The giveaway is the legal disclaimer they have to put on the side: electric test vehicle. They would like not to put that on the side because it gives it away immediately. If you look through the driver's side window, you'll see a screen familiar to anyone who pays attention to BMWs, the familiar curved dual screen display that we'll see on their EVs going forward. Fans of the funky interior of the Mini, which has those big circular dials and what have you, they may be disappointed, or this just could be a test vehicle. It could still have that unmistakably Mini interior. The car is coming in 2023, and it'll be joined by two electric crossovers in the same year. All right, moving on, we'll talk about off-roaders and Jeep, the Wrangler. And the official EPA range is out of the 4xe, which I still think is a terrible name for a car. Obviously, 4x4 is pronounced 4x4 when you read it out loud, so 4xe is 4xe. I think that's the theory. Still sounds weird me saying it. The new Wrangler 4XE plug-in hybrid has been rated by the EPA at 21 miles. That is 34 Ks in zero emission mode only, according to Auto Evolution. That doesn't compare favorably to Jeep's initial estimates. They were aiming for 25 miles or 40 Ks, so they've missed that. Additionally, it's not a great number when you realize the battery they've put inside the Wrangler hybrid. It's a plug-in hybrid with a 17 kilowatt hour battery. That is only slightly smaller than the battery size of my first full electric, and yet I could do 100 plus miles. No, so that's not great. That's 1.2 miles per kilowatt hour, which makes me think that can't be right. It can't be a 17 kilowatt hour pack getting 21 miles EPA range. Nothing is that low. All right, I'll carry on digging. I'd be amazed if that were true. Well, them's the numbers. It just seems so wrong to my head. Let's talk why EVs are the new iPhone, at least according to the people that make the iPhone. Headline story today: EVs are the next big product for iPhone assembler, the legendary name that is Foxconn. They are going to grow that into a business which they say could be even bigger than electronics. That's the chairman and CEO, Young Liu, saying that reports in Nikkei Asia, the Taiwanese group is weighing their plans to make a pure electric vehicle in China and in the US, entering the fast-growing segment of the auto market where tech players can compete with traditional automakers on much more of a level playing field. Now, Foxconn, which trades as Honhai Precision Industry, first revealed their plans to assemble electric vehicles for automakers last October, I think it was. Now, the company has set a goal of capturing 10% of the global EV share sometime between 2025 and 27, which is just mega for any one company to have 10% of the global EV share. They're going to be a major player. That is their goal. They say, we think that regionalized or decentralized production will be the way to go for EVs. Automobiles are big and difficult to ship. The shipping costs are much higher than shipping a cell phone. And that makes a lot of sense. Yes, you can make a million iPhones and put them on ships, and they're small and lightweight, and it's different with cars. They will do that with certain bits of the vehicles, and so, you know, motors and electronics will be made in a certain area and all shipped to where the cars are then eventually assembled. But they will have assembly facilities around the world, going around about business a different way to the way they make iPhones. Byton are going to be the first. Fisker are going to follow next. That's who they are going to be making EVs for. Staying in China, Huawei, the Chinese tech giant Huawei, is planning to make electric vehicles under its own brand name as well. A new report claiming the company has filed a couple of patents relating to this news, says Economic Times. Huawei is in talks with a state-owned Shangan Automobile and other automakers to use their car plants to make their EVs. Huawei is in discussion with the Beijing-based BAIC and their company, Blue Park, to manufacture EVs. And in addition, another Chinese tech company, Xiaomi, is planning to make, you guessed it, their own electric vehicle. It's a strategic decision, they say, but specific details yet to be determined. Is there anybody not moving into the EV space? If I was an existing car maker, I would be not exactly having sleepless nights, but it would be getting my attention. Next, we will talk about how the Chinese company S-Volt are going to be making a gigafactory a stone's throw from Tesla's German gigafactory. The gigafactory for Tesla at Grünheide near Berlin, not finished, but another international company are already starting construction of their gigafactory on German land. The Chinese battery company S-Volt Energy is going to build a gigafactory in Saarland, says DE24.news, not far from the battery production of Tesla, according to media reports. That should be up and underway by 2023, making batteries there, about 25 k's away from Tesla. The company announced this together with the Saarland Prime Minister at a press conference. The factory is going to be built on 840,000 square meters, making an annual capacity of 24 gigawatt hours. That's about, well, it could be 300,000 EVs, maybe 500,000 EVs every year, depending on the size of the packs, what kind of EVs they're going into, small city cars versus big battery pack road kind of motorway mile eaters kind of thing. Next, we'll talk about Tesla using an inland port that was, until now, otherwise neglected with Gigafactory Berlin. And I love stories like this, because it won't maybe be reported in too many places, but this is jobs, this is industry, this is EVs being used to revitalize certain areas and bits of the economy. Talks of how Tesla will ship their EVs. And one idea is Tesla will be using the port of, I think I pronounce it, Königs Wusterhausen, reports RBB. The port in Königs Wusterhausen is to handle deliveries for Tesla this summer. And from the summer, the port area will be expanded to 25,000 square meters. A godsend for the area, for the port, for the region, because for 4 years now, they've not known what's happening. 4 years ago, there was it was on the verge of collapse, according to Talk News. The inland port has a rail connection and a waterway connection. And initially, 10 Tesla containers will be handled every day. Specifically here, talking about getting the parts into the factory, not getting finished cars out. And later, it's going to be up to 100 containers every single day. A constant supply chain of the bits needed to make Model Ys. Next, Porsche and their CEO, Oliver Blume, said a little something last week, which I kind of missed, and I want to bring you on the podcast. You know, VW this time last week had their power day. Power day. The Le Mans winning Porsche 919 was a crucial basis for the development of the all-electric Taycan, says Porsche. For the Taycan, we adopted the 800-volt technology and the cooling concepts and the virtual development methods from their Le Mans racing car, which, of course, they don't do anymore. All superior technology that successfully differentiates Porsche from others, they say. But what does it really mean when Porsche say they're going to be using their motorsport endeavours to advance their road cars? Because at the moment, they're only really involved in Formula E. You know, Audi are in Formula E. VW don't tend to do a great deal of motorsport. Certainly not Formula One with Porsche. But in terms of Audi, they're leaving Formula E this year. So what do Porsche mean when they say they're going to be using motorsport to develop road car batteries? Are they talking about Formula E? Are they talking about something else? Le Mans? Are Audi or Porsche going to be racing in Formula One, maybe? Well, the website The Drive reached out to Porsche to ask where this left their Formula E ambitions, to which a spokesperson replied, VW Group's Power Day was about innovative high-performance cell chemistry, which is intended for future use in high-performance limited production run cars and in customer motorsport. That's all they would say. Typical kind of PR answer, really. Didn't expect them to say, oh yes, we're entering Formula One next year. However, they are saying they're going to use motorsport to develop electric batteries for the road cars that we drive at the very top end of Porsche. So watch this space. Super, super interesting. Next, an analyst at Morgan Stanley talking about how the cheap Tesla, I mean, I know that cheap isn't cheap, but a cheaper Tesla could bring about even cheaper other cars. As companies gain experience designing and manufacturing EVs and building them in higher volumes, analysts are predicting the number of parts needed for an entire vehicle could drop from where it is today to around 100 or even less separate parts. But with mounting pressure by governments who now favour EVs over ICE, manufacturers may not even have a choice of what to do. They may have to focus on EVs. In fact, this Morgan Stanley analyst saying that, according to the Motor One report here, the cheapest real car on the market right now, in Europe at least, is the Dacia Spring. And that is a subcompact model. It's a tiddler. If you think it's about the size of a Zoe, no, I think it's smaller. When you see pictures parked next to other cars, that's a very small city car. It's costing from €16,000. It's going to be even cheaper than that with incentives. So it's €12,000. They're still saying that is not the bottom that we've reached just yet. That actually, as car companies get better at making EVs and parts supply and supply chains, etc., that you are looking at not just those kind of quirky $5,000 cars that are like little bubble cars that you think, okay, well, that's nice, but I'm not putting my family in one of those. But genuinely, you get some very, very decent $5,000 cars, yeah, albeit small city cars, entering the market that are proper cars. We'll wait and see. But as generally car makers like Tesla bring cheaper models to the market, analysts saying it's going to push everything else down as well. And that surely has got to be good news for you and I. More cars to pick from at more price points. That's what we want, right? That's the dream. Next, what about old cars? Classic cars getting back on the open road, but with an electric makeover. A swathe of companies are now ripping out classic cars' petrol engines and replacing them with batteries and motors, or even building an entirely new replica of historic vehicles with the latest EV powertrains. One of the newest entrants to this burgeoning market is the Staffordshire-based RBW. They take the original MGS, MG design. They build an entirely new car fitted with their own EV drivetrain, says the Telegraph newspaper. Now, this report is behind Telegraph's paywall. I won't give you too much of it because, you know, respect to other content creators who need, you know, to charge for their content. But suffice to say that the cars are being road tested now. They'll do 80 miles an hour. They'll go for 160 miles. If you have a spare £100,000 and want a classic MG that's actually a brand new car and electric, you know who to call. Next in the news today, The company, NetX, is a project behind a three-socket EV charger, and they've been doing a charging survey. The Innovate UK-backed project asked about both EV and non-EV drivers and how they feel about charging, how easy it is to charge an electric car. One of the biggest questions that came back was, according to City Magazine, how 85% of people, when asked, want to pay for public charging either with their contactless debit card or credit card waved on the front of the machine, via contactless, or just automatic payment on plug-in. Only 10% of people like the idea of a smartphone app or an RFID card. You know what's happened here? I think they've asked the wrong question, or they've put the survey together and they've not gone granular enough, because whilst I agree with their results of their survey, 85% of people want contactless, tap your card, tap your Apple Watch, whatever, or just for it to work, you've got to split those two out into separate questions. So if you ask people, what do you want? Do you want contactless, or do you want it just to work? Well, that's a different proposition, because then I would be able to answer, I want it just to work. I want my car to plug into any charger and not even to have to wave contactless cards, getting my wallet out. I want to pull up to a charger, I want to plug in, I want to walk away. Tesla fans, stop laughing out loud right now. That's what I want, right? That's what you've got. That's what I want. I don't even want to wave my credit card or bank card, because my wife and I both drive the same electric car, and yet we have different bank cards. I don't want it going on my credit card. I just want, like my iTunes account that we use for apps to download for our little fella, when it just hits one account. I want an account set up for my car at the end of the month. Like, oh, what did I pay for my home electricity? What's my Netflix bill? Like, what are my apps? Oh, what was my car? I want it on that level of ease. So, whilst I agree people want contactless, I think you've got to split the question out. Good survey. I think it almost there that they missed a bit. Right, finally, a book recommendation. Don't get too many of those on this podcast. Anyway, a book recommendation from a chap called Bill Gates. So he's written How to Avoid a Climate Disaster. I'll pop a link to it in the show notes. There's a thing I can do with Amazon. Apparently, I have an influencer page. Who knew that? And so I'll pop a link through my page, which I suppose I mean to get, like, you know, if you buy it, I'd probably get 5p. Batteries are getting better, says Bill Gates. I'll read you a small paragraph of his book. Batteries are getting better, but it's hard to see how they'll ever close the gap. If we're lucky, batteries may become up to three times as energy dense as they are now, in which case they would still be 12 times less energy dense than jet fuel. Our best bet is to replace jet fuel with electrofuels and advanced biofuels, but there are hefty premiums that come with those. The same goes for cargo ships. The best conventional container ships can carry 200 times more cargo than either of the two electric ships currently operating. And they can go on routes that are 400 times longer. Those are major advantages for ships that need to cross oceans. There are four ways to cut down on emissions from transportation. One, do less of it. Two, cut down on emissions by using fewer carbon-intensive materials to begin with. Three, cut down on emissions by using fuels more efficiently. And four, says Bill Gates, and most effective, we can move towards zero emissions for transportation by switching to electric vehicles. We can speed up the transition by adopting policies that encourage people to buy EVs and creating a network of charging stations so they're more practical to own. Nationwide commitments can help drive up the supply of cars and drive down their cost. That's a paragraph from Bill Gates' book. If you'd like to buy it, I highly recommend it. He's a deep thinker and a good writer, and I'll pop a link in the show notes. And that is your podcast for today. Well, there are 1,028 podcasts in the archive. If you're a real sucker for punishment, you could go back and listen to one or more of those. But they're on the blog, ev.news. I invite you to have a look at anything. It's a little search box if you're researching something or you're interested in a car that you're going to buy or do some research. Lots in the archive from what I've produced over the last three odd years. And thank you to everyone who chooses to support me on Patreon, because I couldn't do it without that new way of earning money. It's Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. It really is a kind of a game changer for small content creators like myself. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, one of our premium partners. Brad Crosby as well, one of my longest supporters. Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East. Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com and Jim and the team. Hello to Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. And Richard over at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Have a wonderful day. And I will catch you for Tuesday's edition tomorrow. Oh, and do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.